This is a production of Cornell University.
EA meeting, May 21st, 2008.
Good afternoon. I'd like to thank everyone for coming and call today's meeting to order. At this time, I'd like to ask if there's a variety of additions to our agenda. Okay. We'll move on to the report from the chair. Well, we're almost done.
Thank God.
I want to start off by personally congratulating every member of the employee assembly and everybody who has worked on a committee for all your hard work this year. Looking back, it's hard to recap and summarize all the achievements and progress we've made, but it is clearly evident that we have moved forward. We've stayed on track, on path with all our goals, and I just want to thank everybody. It takes a lot of personal sacrifice and dedication to be successful. Is this her?
Hello? Pat? Hello?
Hi, Amy. This is Pat Mahoney. I guess the tie line is down, so this is on her other number, but here she is.
Oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Hey, Pat.
Hello?
Hey.
Hello, Pat. Geneva.
Switzerland.
Hey, Pat. Thanks, Pat. We started. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me.
You're going to listen.
I'm going to listen.
This is my round of applause for all the EA members and our committee members' hard work for the past year, and that includes you as well.
Thank you.
Thank you. This Friday, I'll be giving my speech to the Board of Trustees who will be visiting the Ithaca campus. They will be in receipt of a written report, which actually does summarize our progress and achievements over the past year, as well as listening to me give a brief presentation to them. I ask that if you can make it, to please join and show support. I also ask that I read the President's strategic plan that came out, and I was really impressed with it, especially item number one. I don't know it off the top of my head, but it was kind of along the lines of recruit, retain, diversify faculty, staff, and students. I think that was a major plus for all staff on our university that we got thrown into the strategic plan. I also asked if somebody by the end of today happens to have the last strategic plan that Cornell had. I believe it was back in 1994. They can pass that on to me, or if they can tell me where I might be able to go and get that after the meeting, that'll be great. I also ask if anybody has any, if they remember any accomplishments that staff did. Brief. I don't need names. I don't need locations. For example, staff member saved a person's life at a grocery store. Staff member actually got their doctorate from NYU. Just any examples like that. Send them to me. I might be able to throw some of those. Thanks, Dennis. I might be able to throw some of those into my presentation to the trustees if they like to hear about that. Donna did that last year. So it's not a new idea that I'm coming up with, but it was very successful, and I heard a lot of praise about her first speech last year, and I'm going to copy her. I thought I'd say that on the record for everyone.
Flattered.
Yep, we are taking nominations today for our employee assembly officers to serve the 2008-2009 term. Later on in the meeting, you'll see it on the agenda. Officers are going to be able to give a brief run-through of the president's position and the duties and what type of person they feel could do it successfully. With our new employee assembly, that will be starting this year, we're losing several members. I'd like to recognize Donna and Carrie and give you another congratulations for sticking through it, and also a deep and sincere thanks for all your hard work that you've had. You were definitely missed, Donna and Carrie as well. We're losing some good experience, but we're picking up some new ones. I'd like to introduce Alan Mittman. I don't know if you've ever met him. He will be one of our new seated employee assembly members for this year. He is here. And Jason, which we have met him, and we had the pleasure of getting to know Jason when we went to Geneva on our last employee assembly meeting. And Pat, thanks again for having us in Geneva.
My pleasure.
I have talked enough. And does anybody have any questions about the trustees report? What's in my report? If you come on Friday, you can get it. I can also email it to you. It's about, I tried to make it short, but I couldn't without cutting out content that I felt was important if they have time to read it. So it's about 4 pages long.
And where do the people that plan on attending, where do we get our tickets?
I'll have them.
Daniel, Pat, are you going to be able to make it? Not to single you out.
I think I am.
Outstanding. Oh, nice. Outstanding. Any questions? I kind of told you about my presentation briefly, what I'm going to do. The report will be able to view it.
Is there a Q&A element of the after you speak?
I believe that I have to leave time for them for a Q&A.
Why?
It's brief.
Why, you got a singer playing?
Yeah, yeah. No, I think it'd be good if members maybe emailed you some questions to get you thinking about answers in case something's out of left field.
Feel free to do that, yes. And send it to all assembly members so we can see it, so you can also see my response.
Okay.
Yeah, put me to the test. We don't have much time.
Right.
Good idea, Gary.
Are we going to see your 4-page report in advance?
I can email it to you.
Yeah, could you email it to all?
Sure.
Okay,
I mean, it can't be changed at this point.
Oh, right. FYI.
Yeah. It's possible I missed some of our big highlights or accomplishments. Hopefully I got everything. So we'll just see. I think there's enough there that shows what we've done over the last year. All right. Report from our employee elected trustee. Michael contacted us. He has nothing to report. He cannot make the meeting today. We'll move on to our report from our UA representative, Bill.
I was not at the last meeting, but they did do the elections of the officers for the University Assembly, and the one key one for us, of course, he was reelected as a member of the Executive Committee. Did I get that right? All right. Thank you. Leanne, I don't know if you're there.
I didn't make the last one.
So I don't have any other update on that.
Okay. Any questions for Bill? As always, thank you. We'll move on. Amy got us through email. Gotta love email. Got us 2 meeting minutes for us to look over before the meeting. And I'm going to now give everybody a couple minutes to go over the minutes and see if you notice anything that may need to be changed. I have one on May 7th on the call to order. I believe Beth's last name is spelled wrong.
Yeah.
Simple fix.
I've been having problems receiving the minutes and anything sent. I'm on a Mac. I'm very tired sending something, and I've just given up on trying to open them from Amy. I don't know.
So you didn't get them?
I'm not able to get them. They won't open.
Who can give you?
Yeah, I'm just saying ahead of time, so I don't know if there's something.
Is it your computer or is it your account?
I think it's a Mac issue.
Okay.
But I have a Mac, too. I'm not able to open them.
Yeah, and I have a Mac, too.
And
maybe it's something with my account.
Yeah, maybe your IT support is going to help you. Or RAE, because they work with RAE. I can give you some pointers, too. And I'll be happy to look at it. Any others? Jason, you had one.
The report from the chair, the May 21st meeting should be changed to June 4th.
Mm-hmm.
time.
Which, of the officers?
Which minutes are we doing?
May 7th.
Okay.
Well, I mean, that's in the minutes. We've since changed the date.
Oh, okay. It wasn't originally always supposed to be?
Yeah, we've moved the date, but the minutes are correct in that regard.
Yeah,
so that's fine. Okay.
Jason asked me, and I said, yeah, bring it up. Like, okay.
Thanks, Tom.
That was saying today would be the election for officers, but that, you're right, that is what was discussed at the last at this meeting. Any others?
Make a motion that the minutes for April 16th be approved.
As a member. I have a second.
Okay,
Bill, a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, with that, we'll pass Wednesday, April 16th meeting minutes. This one wasn't amended.
I make a motion that May 7th minutes be approved with the change to Beth McKinney's last name.
I have a motion.
Second.
I have a second, Bill. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, moving forward, I'm passing May 7th meeting minute with the noted change on Beth's last name under call to order.
Got it.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to move on to our committee report. Executive committee, I was not at last week's meeting. Steve, do you have anything to add?
We discussed mostly the election, and if there's an agenda further down, so we'll bring those up as those come up. That took up most of the meeting, and then we also talked about the agenda as usual.
Mm-hmm. Any questions for the executive committee? Okay, we move on to staff award recognition committee. Do you have anything?
A couple of them.
Okay.
Last Friday, I know a few of you were able to come to the George Peter Award ceremony, and Bill did a fine job of emceeing it. It was lively and light, and it was the honoring Terry Kinsman. And there are, I don't know, something like 75 people, 75 to 100 people.
Yeah, it was
there.
Good.
Large, large.
Yeah, it was nice. It was really nice.
Yeah,
it
went really well. The staff award recognition committee needs to meet soon. I think right after commencement, we'll try to get some meeting in early June so we can start lining up some other candidates for the next award.
Okay. Any questions for Dennis?
Is there anybody on the wait list that
we
hasn't
have,
been?
We have some people in the pipeline.
Bill, thank you for filling in.
Sure.
Move on to communication committee. Did Carrie leave anything?
We had a great meeting. Our last meeting was at Eastold, is that our last meeting? At the office building. And we discussed focusing on the hows of communication across campus, which is hard for everybody. And it's hard for professional communicators, it's hard for, and so for staff people to step into that role and try to figure out the tools of business and communication is really hard. But we also really need to focus on the why, what we're communicating. So Dennis and I have talked about developing some key messages. Coming from a development background, talking points are really big. So working on talking points for EA members, which is something that's also really important so that people can speak on important university issues. At that time, we talked about looking into why the EA website is so hard to find using the Google app on cornell.edu. I figured it out, so now if you search for employee assembly, instead of having to search for through several hundred pages, literally, it's number one because we've got a key match for it. So I think the next task will be that the committee will focus on, Andy, your headiness, is looking at the website itself. So now that people can find it, you know, people can put it in their email signatures, and you can have it be a destination site. So those are the main things.
Good.
Steve is working on developing materials, presentation materials for outreach events.
Great, thank you. I will at this time, I forgot to earlier introduce Andy Page. I do know him. He is on our communications committee with Kelly and Carrie and others. And he comes from Bailey Hall, where he is, I work in the IT field. Audio, he is the audiovisual expert. The equipment over in Bailey Hall is amazing, and it's complicated and it's complex, and he does a fine job at making that work. Glad to have him.
So who's going to be chairing that committee now?
The new vice chair.
Yeah.
The charter has the vice chair is automatically chair of the communications committee. So whoever that is will be the new chair of that committee. Keep that in mind. As you know, a vice chair does have a collateral duty of being the chair of the communications committee. And we can get to that as we get down just exactly what the vice chair entails. Move on to finance. Bill, you have something for us.
Okay, yes. I sent out your email. This is your favorite thing. kind of a skeleton budget that we put together for next year. Myself, Pat, and Leanne have been working, and Leanne have been putting in a lot of time, which I appreciate. To try and get everybody geared towards and working on the budget for next year and just making sure where we're at. Now, this, make sure to understand a couple things real quick. One, this is definitely incomplete. And what we really tried to do is put together the things that we were aware of that we felt kind of comfortable with putting down just to give a guide and to help start things off for the committees. But what we're looking for in the normal process is each of the committee chairs need to look at their committee portion and decide what is right and what is not right, the things need to be added, the dollar figures and so forth. One of the things we are trying to do is tighten it up some this year and be very specific with certain areas, and one of them, and I'm going to pick on a little bit just for the heck of it, is the emergency grant fund. If you go to that page, you'll see it specifically says there's $350 in there, and that that is to cover lunch, and if there's anything beyond the $350, that's to pay for it. You got it, yeah. You know, but it's just trying to tie things up so we don't have to waste a lot of time on you know, certain areas. So I put out a schedule. I'm asking all the committee chairs again to take a look at this, to give me any feedback for their committees by the 30th of May. I'll put it back together one more time and send it back out on June 2nd, so we'll have it kind of as a final for our June 4th meeting to review. So that's the game plan. Any questions?
It's very nice. Thank you.
You too.
Emergency grant fund. Dennis.
Comments on the emergency grant fund. Brian, I think you had asked me at some point recently how many grants we had given out to this past year. I thought it was three. Yeah, Phyllis thought it was three. It was really two. Yeah. She went back and checked her records. So we gave out two, and they were two staff people who had that house fire. That's during this past employee assembly year. July 1st.
Wow, I thought it was four.
You thought it was four. Well,
right. We had one at the summer. We actually voted at the summer retreat, which was the plane crash.
From my...
Maybe they just, whatever happened, maybe they didn't get a word, but there's two. So it's going to be an errand that starts to support.
We could do some quick awards, I guess, between the prize.
I could use a little help.
Okay.
The other thing I wanted to mention is that Deb Phillips, due to some increased work responsibilities, is stepping down as the chair of the Emergency Grant Fund, a position she's held for a long, long time. So this group will need to appoint somebody new to chair that committee. There is the committee chair has a lot of responsibilities intermittently. A lot comes down all at one time, and Deb is the keeper of the secret of how you actually get a check cut for anybody who receives an award. So the committee probably needs to reconvene soon and elect a new chair, and Deb will transfer the information that she's carried along with her, all this institutional memories, to the new chair. She wishes to remain a committee member, but will not be able to do that.
Dennis, just correct me for a moment, but is the chair also basically responsible for the coordination of the employee auction, which I think is a pretty big affair? I mean, I know she did it in the past. I don't know if that was just by default or whatever, but
yes.
That is a pretty significant role, people should just be aware of it.
Right, and order it with a pizza for
the That's the part of chairing this committee that deters a lot of members from going to be showing interest in being the chair of that committee, because it is very, very time consuming and it's probably overwhelming until you get a couple under your belt.
We need a special dispensation to allow staff, to chair that committee.
So he should be a DA member.
Mm-hmm. If anyone's interested, Dennis will have all the information. He'll be able to answer. I'm on the committee. He's been on it a long time. But we're going to need somebody there. Thank you, Dennis.
Sure.
Personnel policy.
Oh, I haven't met and have no more meetings scheduled for the year. I said at the last meeting in Geneva that I would put together a list of topics that we kind of sort of a mini annual report of the topics that we had discussed at those meetings and give an update on their status, and then also some things that have come forward to the committee for suggestions that we just needed.
Great. Thank you. And now that's another committee that is chaired by the DA member.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So there's some openings, unfortunately, but we're going to have to fill that. Any questions for Don? Okay. I'm going to throw in a report here from a committee. It's a Transportation Advisory Committee report from INDA. Sorry for the short notice.
Thank you. I hope Leon reported a little more previous to this. My work schedule has been fluctuating. Hopefully after summer, it's going to calm down. But the picture is right now. But I have been attending the Transportation Advisory Committee, which is TAC. And the latest meeting, they did give us some follow-up with TCAC. Some of the issues that TCAT had discussed prior. They do want to support a phone line after 5 p.m. They're working on the shelters so as to name the shelters, and you may have seen some new route postings. And they do want to elaborate, but they're kind of jumping off, getting started and getting out there what they think is essential. They're still surveying for information what else needs to be at those shelters, which is quite a bit. They are following up on bike paths. That is something that the Transportation Committee is looking at, and get the bike paths away from TCAT. And another transportation issue that we'll be delving into more is ride share. I'll let you know more. What do you mean get the bike paths away from TCAT? That means that the bicycle won't be riding beside a bus.
Oh, the bike lane
away from the bus lane.
Oh, okay, not that.
Okay.
What
does
TCAT
have
to do
geographically?
Yeah,
that's
not
something to do with putting
the
bike path in. We just need to look at that because the bikers are in danger. Yeah.
Was car share brought up at all at the last meeting?
Yeah. Car share, I in particular am looking at van share because we still haven't established a bus line for the regional realm.
And what's going on with the transportation report, the 10 report, the 10 studies? They were waiting for it to be going to the city.
Yeah, they're still fine-tuning the TIMS component of the T-Guys.
Yeah. If they're approved to go ahead with TIMS, and TIMS is a working report, so there will be continuous work done on that.
But approved by, they were looking for support, really, from the community, like you said.
Yeah, it's been approved internally, and it'll be going to the town next month.
Okay, that's what I was looking for. And I didn't think it had been approved by the town.
Right. And there's also going to be something in the Ithaca Journal, like a special section about T-Guys and TIMS in probably late June, early July.
Okay, that'll be really important. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, there's a lot of stuff in there.
A lot of stuff.
Any other questions? University benefits.
I forwarded an email from the university benefits. There won't be any more meetings this year, and since we start up again next year, they need time to level over the data. I think the last report gave it to you and indicated that they were putting together numbers for Cornell. They had a proposal. They had three proposals of how the retirees and medical benefits could go, and then we're actually going to apply Cornell numbers to those. So it would be happening. So that's taking longer than I expected. So that's why. Yeah, it's not shared at this meeting.
Well, if we can't fill the void that will happen when we will try to
How many people are generally on the university benefits?
University benefits?
Two staff members.
And you're one of them.
I'm one of them, right?
Right. And employee education is one, or is it?
No, employee education is
many.
Yeah, I have a little sort of a mini report on that later, but I have a morning rule.
Oh, good.
Just let me know and I'll tell you what she said.
Okay. Great. Thank you, Donna. The Charter Review Committee.
Hasn't met.
Okay.
No.
The other one we just passed in Geneva has not met, so there's nothing to report. So we'll be soon. Let me reach out. I'm sure it will be soon. Okay, so we're going to move on to old business.
I'm sorry, Brian.
Yes.
Employee education.
Actually, yeah, I think I jump in and just say, I spoke with Maureen Brule the other day. She said she was going to send me an email. She said that committee has actually been deemed, like, they have disbanded the group. This was a number of years ago. She's going to send me the email, but she said that her, Joanne Shepherd, I'm not sure who else was on the committee, but that they found that there was really nothing that they could do, and it was basically a totally ineffective group. And I said, is there anything? She said, no. She said that it was like, this was, I guess, a big deal about 5 or 6 years ago, but they pretty much disbanded it.
That's the employee
education. The education committee. So it no longer exists.
So what I've been doing.
This is what she told me.
There has been, and I've reported that there haven't been any committee meetings because we've been waiting on the university benefits for the retiree benefits will impact what the benefits for tuition are. So that's why I've been updating the committee on my conversations with Maureen as to where all of that stood, but we couldn't really do anything, and that's why there hasn't been a committee or meeting.
Yeah, she just basically said that there was nothing.
Yeah, there's really nothing to do.
And who were these people? Who was she?
Maureen Brule. She works with employee education. She's basically the contact person that employees go through to
HR.
So she's in HR.
Yeah, to do their enrollment.
Mm-hmm. However, I did just send out an email this week about the student event.
All right. Sorry about that, Peter. Peter, can I go to IOC?
You guys have probably seen my past couple of emails asking for nomination and stuff regarding the elections. I just want to go through the process I'm going to do. First, I'm going to kind of let you know which nomination I've gotten so far, and I forgot to actually print out my list, so this one's going to be from memory, so I'm probably going to miss a couple. So if you don't hear somebody that you nominated, just let me know out loud, and then you'll also have an opportunity to give voice, new voice nominations. So nominations I have for chair right now are Hazel and Brian. Did I miss any other nominations for anyone for chair? Okay. Current nomination I have for vice chair are Jason. And I believe there's one more, but I don't remember the name. Did someone else nominate someone for vice chair?
Pat Mahoney.
Pat. for internal operations, I have a nomination for Leon at this time.
I decline.
Were there any other nominations for IOC that Mr. Grant?
You're accepting nomination up to just before.
Yeah. Right now, I'm just going through the ones that I've received by email. I just want to make sure I didn't miss any of those. Finance, I think I got one, but I don't remember the name. Does anyone nominate someone for finance? They remember. Okay. And parliamentarian, I just have a nomination for Hazel for parliamentarian. All right, so those are ones that I remember that received by email. So if anyone has any nominations that I'd like to make right now for any of those positions, you can go ahead and do so. The reason we're taking nominations now at this meeting is that whoever receives a nomination has the full 2 weeks to consider whether they want to accept it and also prepare some kind of statement, whatever, for the election. So.
Did you repeat them, please?
The ones I have so far?
Yeah.
Hazel and Brian for chair.
Okay.
Jason and Pat for vice chair. Nobody for ILC, nobody for finance, and Hazel for parliamentarian. And I may have one more in my email there. Forgot about
so we could things. Also send those to you as well?
You can, but unless you're shy about saying out loud, I'd like to, or you're not going to get them by this meeting, if you have the full time. You can make nominations right up until the position is actually voted for, so it's fine.
I'm going to make a nomination now. I will have more by the time it's over. It'll be Bill Littick for finance.
And unfortunately, I'm going to respectfully decline.
Okay.
I'm going to nominate Kelly for ComCom.
She's not a member yet, but okay. We're going to have that under new business, and then depending on the results of that, you can then make a nomination if appropriate. Any other nominations?
When is the last day you're taking them?
Right at the meeting. Like I said, though, I want people to have a chance to think about the nomination. You know, something might want to decide if I have time for this or not. So I'll give you 2 full weeks. Then, everyone else can have a chance to think about who this nominees are.
Peter?
Yeah.
Just a point of clarification.
Sure.
Do I understand correctly that one person can be nominated for more than one?
Yeah.
Okay, so if in fact they are not successful in the highest level of the nomination, they could then be considered for the lower.
If somebody nominates them for a lower position.
Which is different. That's different than last year, where they were automatically, if someone didn't win chair, they were automatically in the ballot for vice chair. Didn't win, automatically just moved down. This time, they have to be renominated. But just before the vote for each position, they'll accept nominations again. So, for instance, if I didn't win chair during the election and I wasn't nominated for anything else, I could be nominated again for vice chair, but it wouldn't be automatic.
Excellent. That's what I wanted to be sure of. Thanks, Brian.
You're welcome.
Okay. So the elections are on June 4th, which is the next meeting. They had originally been scheduled for today, but after a discussion at our executive meeting, we decided that we would take nominations today, and then later down in the agenda, you see we'll have a chance discussion where all the current officers are going to have a small, they're going to stay in what their position entails, and that's going to give people a chance to think about whether or not they want to accept nominations for the next meeting. And then at the election, it's just going to be the elections, and that's it. Any other questions or comments or nominations? Yeah.
Can you accept the nomination for someone,
please? Sure, if you want to nominate me.
Yeah, I'd like to nominate you and Gary.
Okay.
Who is it?
Peter and Gary.
For IOC.
And Alan for finance.
And Alan for finance. One more. And regarding the actual elections, we're going to invite our old members, Don and Carrie, and anyone else whose like, friends are going to be up to participate in the discussion during elections, but they won't actually be able to vote for the elections, whereas all the new members will be able to vote on their officers. But the new members will have a chance to hear from the old members, you know, the opinions about people who are new. So we'll have the full breadth of opinions and ideas and knowledge to base our elections on. Is that it? Okay. And feel free to keep emailing me until that time.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions? Peter can help answer them for you. Oh, Alan, I don't know if you knew, but you were just nominated for finance. Chair of finance. You can
I'll think about that. Yeah, sure.
You don't have to. It's you're nominated, so you're in the ballot right now.
Okay.
At this point, okay?
Okay.
We let you know before you submit that.
No, sorry, you can nominate yourself for a position.
You can or you cannot?
You can.
You can.
That's all for me.
Okay. So that's it for committee reports. I messed that order up, but nothing on old business. We're going to move into our new business. And this is where we're given a little, a small lot of time for the current officers. And I'm going to welcome past officers, past people that have been in the position to also add to what we're about to talk about. What we're going to do is we're going to start with the chair. I'm going to try to give the EA members a little background, a little about the EA, what you have to do, your tasks, your duties, your responsibilities, my opinion, what type of person could excel at this and do well. And then also if Donna can jump in if you have something to add. She was a chair, and we're going to just move down so everybody kind of gets a better idea of what each position entails. So, Alan, for you, yes.
I was just saying, can we ask that we try to like wrap up by quarter after script times for
okay, if not sooner, I'll be
sure.
Brief.
Okay.
So, Alan, you just got nominated for finance chair. It's a committee, and Bill is currently the chair of finance. So this is going to give you an idea. This is going to give you a little understanding of the task as Bill explains it to you, and then you can ask some questions. Being the chair, it's an obvious one that you do facilitate the meeting. So you have to have, I guess, a little courage. You have to be able to speak. There's a lot of public speaking involved. You MC the president's address, the George Peter Awards. You know, Bill filled in. Bill filled in the last one. I feel you have to have sound judgment. You have to provide the employee assembly vision, leadership, guidance. There's officer meetings, there's regular EA meetings, there's meetings with Mary Opperman, who's our Vice President of Human Resource, once a month. There's leadership breakfasts once a month. You most likely be invited to be on the President's expanded group meeting when that happens. Sometimes they ask that you show up to sporting events. So there's a lot of different things that the chair does. Friday, I'll be given the annual report to the trustees. That's a big one. That wraps up the year. You'll also be, I think, as well as all EA members, officers, committee members, and just the staff in general working at Cornell, you'll be consulted by people. Being the chair of the EA, sometimes the EA members have some issues directly related to the EA, and they're going to come and talk to you about it. That's where you got to practice your sound judgment. You're responsible for appointments of various committee members, a diversity working group. There's a whole bunch of different roles. You keep them coming. Anyone can jump in, too. This is so an interested person can get an idea of what they have to do. So if there's things that Leon may feel that there's something he may think that there's a special quality or characteristic for being the chair, say it. It's just open. There's a lot of emails that go back and forth. Okay? Question?
Brian?
Yes?
On a basis of the year that we are in the EA, could you give us a rough idea of your actual time commitment?
It does vary from week to week, but I'll give you a typical week, briefly.
Okay.
I think the last time I counted, it was in the thousands of emails that I've received, not sent out, just received, because there is a lot of emails. A lot of them are just, just delete them, their copies, you know, just like every other job that I email. There'll be either an EA meeting or an officers meeting that week. So let's say it's the month, I may have a meeting with Mary Offerman, Dennis, the employee elected trustee, the vice chair, and that's with Mary Offerman. If the president is coming to a meeting, the chair may throw together a presentation, which I made a PowerPoint presentation for some time. I'm throwing this all into 1 week that I did everything, okay, Pat?
Okay.
Like the report, the written report to the trustees took a lot of time to get, preparing the speeches that you give. It's tough to say the time commitment. Although I will, however, say that we did have a nice executive committee meeting, taking a lot of time, but with the Office of Assembly, and the present officers tossed around some ideas on how to cut back on the time and the demand for officers, and they're very willing to work with us. An example is there's an EA meeting today, right? Instead of having the officers meeting on the off week, we had it before or directly after was actually the better suggestion. Cut down on a day, one day every 2 weeks you have to go, and cut down on the time a little bit. So there's different ideas to make the time a little less. But it can be demanding. Sometimes it'll go like 3-4 weeks without much, and then other times it'll be like, it's a lot to do.
Yeah.
I don't know if I answered your question, Pat, but.
Yep.
I don't know. I was chair 3 times, and I would average it out to say I probably went to at least 2 meetings a week that were EA related, and I spent at least 2 to 3 hours a week on emails and correspondence. So I would say if you're going to be chair, you should probably plan on an extra 6 to 8 hours at a minimum a week to dedicate to the EA.
Okay, that's definitely accurate. I would say it's definitely minimum 2 hours of emails.
It's at least a half hour a day you're going to spend on correspondence or a phone or
I think I sent out a few emails this morning before the meeting.
Yeah.
Any questions? Any questions about the chair position? Okay. We'll move on. Vice chair, I think Carrie.
She emailed me, and I'm going to read this blurb she sent me. Vice chair position is an exciting position to hold. You get to meet privately with Vice President Mary Ackman, the employee elected trustee, and Dennis. About every 4 weeks, discuss current happenings at Cornell to discuss specific topics directly related to the EA. Often, you are privy to information before it reaches print. Additional meetings you attend are leadership breakfast, occurring approximately every 3 weeks, Hoffman board meetings every other week, and the EA officers meeting with the Office of Assemblies once every 2 or 3 weeks. If your schedule becomes overwhelmed, you do have the option of sending your representative leadership breakfast meeting and Hoffman meetings in your place. Another important component of holding the vice chair position is that you chair the EA Communications Committee. ComCom meets 1 or 2 times per month, depending on the events occurring throughout the year. The chair of ComCom is also responsible for putting together the agenda for the EA board meetings. I believe that a person who would be well suited for a position of vice chair would have the following characteristics. 1, be knowledgeable about Cornell or have the desire to self-educate on topics related to Cornell. 2, excellent organizational skills. 3, have a positive attitude and a strong desire to work collaboratively with administration when advocating for staff. That's all she wrote. So.
Right, any questions? We'll try to answer. Okay. as to be the penalty?
Yep. Obviously, you handled the elections and nominations in that process. That's probably the busiest time of year for the chair of ILC. But during the rest of the year, you kind of your job to handle committee appointments and to make sure committees are scheduled and running and stuff like that. So, for example, it's your job to solicit nominations for committee appointments and solicit nominations for EA members, as, you know, as I'm doing now. You know, you're often the go-to person regarding membership and schedule of committees and meetings, so, you know, members can always be able to email me asking questions about the committees and when they meet. And then, you know, I can usually either answer a question directly or direct you to whoever the chair is or whoever can answer your question. So the, you know, I was the chair generally the go-to person regarding membership and committees. And then, as a general, and then also occasionally, I would kind of act as a parliamentarian at certain, like, at certain times regarding just processes and making sure that things are being orderly in meetings, committee meetings, and just, you know, stuff like that. So I think, yeah.
What does IOC stand for?
Internal Operations
Committee.
Yeah.
Internal Operations.
Internal Operations D, whatever the C. yeah, sorry about that.
It's okay.
So, and I was going to say something else, but you just cut me off. That's the other word. But I think that's pretty much all I have.
Bye.
Any questions about being chair of internal operations?
Okay. Hey, Bill, I'm going to talk to you about finance.
Finance. As the head of finance committee, and you're part of the executive team, so you go to the executive meetings. But it's the finance role itself. The main thing is, from a budget standpoint, you'll start out the year with a budget in hand. So it's monitoring the budget versus expenses. You really got to watch the lunches close. Sometimes you get carried away. No, but you do. You want to watch all expenses and just match up against the budget and make sure everything's staying in line and obviously bring up any issues here to the whole group. And then, as the year goes on, in the second half of the year, you're really looking at looking at the next budget and saying, you know, what do we need to do? And basically develop what we've done here is kind of a starting point, and the committees are the ones that are supposed to get the final input from their perspective, what they want, and then it goes back before the OEA for approval. Time allotment, this one is not a huge time allotment. You do spend the time in the executive meetings, so there's that. I would say just on the finance part of it, I probably don't, on an average, I'm saying, probably don't spend more than an hour a week with that, because I don't monitor the budget every week when it's just in process. I do keep an eye on it over time. I probably spent more time in the last couple of months working on setting up the new budget, where it gets a little bit more active, and you are the chair of the finance committee. And I don't know if it's part, I don't think it's part of just being a finance person, but as an executive, I guess the only thing I would recommend and say is that you should be willing and able to support backup for different events. Usually the chair and the vice chair are most of the events, but there's times they can't make it, and they don't want to look to the rest of the executive team. So, as Brian noted, I hosted or MC the George Peter Award. I sat in on one of Mary's meetings. I sat in on a leadership breakfast. So you get a chance, and it's actually it's a very nice thing. You get a chance to get in the, Carrie said, you meet a lot of interesting people, a lot of key people in the university, and you hear about a lot of topics and stuff. So it makes it very interesting.
I love that Bill did a lot more than just his duty of being finance chair. Bill was very instrumental in helping us get our goals established in both and prioritize them. He was very instrumental in our REACH project. He did more than what was expected of him. Thank you, Bill. Any questions for Bill? Okay. Inda, parliamentarian.
First thing about being a parliamentarian is being available. And unfortunately, my schedule changed this past year and made it difficult that I was only permitted to attend every other meeting. So if I was at executive committee, you didn't see me at the regular day
which isn't good because you do need to be there to support the executive committee, which means you need to be at the EA meeting as well. But the parliamentarians do, just to make sure you're the same ones who weigh in and vice versa, that they're there to back it up and everybody else is familiar with parliamentary procedures. I started reading your Robert's Rules and forget it's really good. Give you this nice handout, and that's really what you need to know to get through a meeting. Didn't have the pictures for Robert. And it's nice being on the executive committee that you do get that inside your point, but you've got to be able to have the time to take it back and be a friend there.
Any questions, Brenda? Have you ever had to jump into a meeting when it was running amok? I mean, have you ever done that? When things just, the dynamics weren't going anywhere and it wasn't a productive meeting and you tried to get it back on track?
Yeah, meetings have been very much on track. As a group, it really kind of keeps itself cohesive. There's times where I had to count to make sure we had a quorum and I had to say we need to put this motion on the table or off the table or something like that.
It would be her role to do that if that happened.
It's also worth mentioning that every position, the officer in that position, kind of decides to choose their level of involvement. So, for example, when I was a parliamentarian, I was asked to, for example, keep a count of how many people showed up and actually help out with the minutes and stuff like that. And if you have less time, you can do less, depending. That's true of any position. If you have more time available, you help out the other officers more. You know, so for example, if Brian didn't have as much time, I might be able to do a committee report or something. You know, this is a random example. So every officer depends on their availability and energy can do more or less within a given position.
We have all filled in. Peter's filled in. Bill's filled in. Everybody has filled in. We wouldn't be able to stay afloat if people weren't stepping up and helping.
So. Brian?
Yes.
One other thing I would like to add, too, about the parliamentarian is since the EA, the setup, the arrangement that we have with regard to the meeting is loosely based on the Robert's Rules of Order,
yes.
I think it's very important for the parliamentarian to be at least aware or knowledgeable of those rules.
That's a good point. Something you never know what the future brings and you never know what could come up, that we need somebody aware of that. Luckily, my style of running a meeting seems to be accepted and we get through things, but it's a loose model.
Right.
Yeah.
I didn't mean that we ignore Robert's Rules. I was referring to the book. The parliamentary handout that I was given is based on Robert's Rules. It just brings it down to common meeting terms.
All right.
Yes, one quick follow-up question. I just noticed in the letterhead position that Bill has as vice chair for finance and secretary. Yeah. Or any role as secretary?
Luckily, everybody pretty well takes care of the secretary piece of it. I don't do anything in that area. The minutes are taken care of by the assembly's office. Much appreciated. The communications chair has been taking care of the agenda, the meeting and so forth. So there's nothing I've been doing in that area.
So the charter is actually
like the in the past couple of years, the Office of Assemblies has taken on certain duties on our behalf so that we can be consistent with the other assemblies. Yeah. That includes a lot of the secretarial duties like maintaining the minutes and stuff.
Yeah. Any other questions? And this is, we're open for the next 2 weeks and even after. Any questions come up? If you're more comfortable, send an email or doing personal phone calls, you can go ahead and do it. I urge you to. I urge everyone to run if interested. Talk to someone, get nominated. Worst case scenario, nominate yourself. Competition is good for all positions. With that, we're going to move on, and I'm going to, the employee assembly is going to move into a closed session.
Well, okay. We'll have a discussion first, and then we'll get into a closed session.
I was going to buy her a second. I wasn't at last week's executive meeting.
Well, I mean, the next time I get a discussion of Kelly's appointment to a position on the Employee Assembly. So we're going to have first have a Q&A with Kelly, so she can say a question, she can sit there and ask questions. And then we will go into closed session where we'll ask non-members to leave, and then we'll have a discussion with just the members.
Okay.
Have the, of the election, actual election, or the actual votes.
Okay, my apologies. That's what one of my little notes were. So we are passing around.
Yes, sir. With the seed event, should that be discussed now before, or before we adjourn the closed session?
We're not going to adjourn. I mean, we'll just leave while discussing it. We'll come back.
Okay. So we're passing out. This is Kelly's application. Just to bring everybody up to date, Kelly is interested in pursuing one of the open. Now, is this for next year?
Right.
Next year, for the 2008-2009 year, we'll still have two vacancies. They're contract non-exempt vacancies. Kelly has turned in her application. Her packet is complete, and she's interested in being appointed as one of these employees under the CD numbers. So what we're going to do is, Kelly, I'm going to start off and just ask you if you want to, we know you, there's some new people here though, if you want to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about why you want to join the Employee Assembly.
My background is in nonprofit fundraising as state development, which has always included marketing and communications, so that is sort of my thing, generating buyers and garnering support. I started Cornell at Kemp in January 2007, and October I was hired as a campaign assistant to Mary Barron's senior campaign officer, and my job is actually to develop a fast and innovating program, a new idea for Cornell, not a new idea for other universities. So under those auspices, I began looking at communication flow throughout the university, how it is communicated to employees, what is communicated to employees, and through what means. I also became aware that staff engagement is the number one issue. Staff feeling like they are valued, obviously, but also understanding and embodying the mission of the organization that they work for. And that's something I've always been a mission-driven employee. That's always been the number one thing, which is always why I've worked in the nonprofit sector. So I've been interested in fostering that here at the university. Because of the decentralization, I think people tend to feel isolated sometimes, overwork with the growing trend. But there are ways to counter that. I also feel strongly that all employees should be informed about top line university initiatives. I feel like everyone should know. I feel like everyone should understand the ramifications of financial aid initiatives, the ramifications of the university comprehensive master plan, the ramifications of the turnover of faculty and staff over the next 10 years. So these are things that I feel like through the Employee Assembly, staff can understand those things and it can help inform the way that they work. I have been coming to the Employee Assembly after I started the job. I've actually been here more than some people who run the assembly, so I feel like I have a pretty good sense of what goes on. I also have been participating on the communications committee. As I mentioned earlier, we've been able to get a few things off the ground right away. I feel like there are some really quick things that can be done to raise the profile of the Employee Assembly. When I was going around to get my petition signed, every person who signs my petition either did not know that we had an employee assembly, and our division is pretty well informed overall, did not know that we had an employee assembly, or threw away their ballot because they didn't see it as relevant. So that is something that I definitely would like to change. As I mentioned earlier, talking points are very important for EA members, revamping the EA website, making a destination site, having members' photos on that, having quotes and statements from EA members, having a news column where you can post calls for participation on committees. You can post events, both EA events and events around campus that might be relevant. And appointments, which is something that's very important because it doesn't matter if you're an EA member, if nobody in your unit knows that you're an EA member.
And to that point also, I'm very interested in outreach. Some of the employee trustee candidates had some great ideas, and Bethel King in particular, so I look forward to working with her. Brown Bag, one issue is very important. I'm interested in pursuing the idea of having EM members have a coffee hour or office hours within their division so that people know that you're the point person and they can come and talk to you. Also, and these are, there are some things I've been pursuing along other lines, like if the EA would be a good venue. The founder of Interest Forward is a friend of mine, and I've been interested in having joint events with Interest Forward and Cornell, which is one thing that you hear frequently, is there's a lack of networking opportunities. There are some, but the problem is when, you know, Human Resources says, here's your event, it really has to have more of a grassroots feel, so that's something that I'm very interested in as well. One of the things I mentioned in my application is that I'm on the sustainability team in my building, Seneca Place. This is a university priority, and yet, if, you know, those of us who know our sustainability coordinator know that he's under-resourced and also has the same difficulties in communicating that everybody else does. Yet, there are these positive activity around the university. I've been, you know, I now have colleagues in other units who are on their own sustainability teams. We need to be sharing knowledge, and this is also a way that employees can feel empowered, I believe, because I just finished some faculty and staff focus groups to talk about perceptions of the university that might affect giving. Waste was a theme that was throughout those groups. So if people feel empowered to make suggestions and implement them at the local level, I think that that could have a huge impact. Then there are a couple of things that I would be interested in pursuing. One of the things that I hear frequently is that there's nothing in the campaign for staff. And that's true to some degree, and staff will benefit from, you know, improved infrastructure and things like that. But, you know, Friends of Fortin came from University of Iowa, and staff is a part of their campaign there. And in particular, they have two awards. They have a Staff Excellence Award. And George Peter Award is great, but it's about acknowledgement. But this is something that awards people's performance. And they also have staff innovation grants. So, for example, if you had a great idea, you could apply for a grant for $1,000 or so to implement it. And then the other idea that I'm interested in pursuing, which is an idea that I got from Brown, who actually has a really great staff advisory committee. And one of the initiatives that they have, they got off the ground, which speaks to my earlier point about the need for employees to be informed, is Brown has a program called Staff Ambassadors. And these are people who apply and then they're chosen. And they are informed. They are, you know, paired with faculty members who are doing research so that they can shadow them so that they can understand what's going on. For example, you know, some of our New Life Sciences program, the Institute for Social Science, could do that. You know, they can understand what's going on in human resources. They could be, you know, shadow someone there. Basically, going out throughout campus and finding out what's going on so that they can actually speak to those topics. So, I've heard this idea described as communications champions in other places, but it's a real powerful tool of staff empowerment that people have an in-depth knowledge of what's going on here. So it's such a vast place that unless you actively seek it out, it's really difficult.
Thank you. I'm going to open the floor if anybody has any questions for Kelly. And then what's going to happen after we're done with the questions is I'm going to move into the closed session and have everybody leave while we have a closed discussion and have a vote. Do I have a question from anyone for Kelly? Inda.
Yes, there's a reason that you were in the election.
I haven't decided yet, honestly. I need to speak to my supervisor about it, and I have other volunteer commitments, but I really wanted to make sure that I was sure about it. But I saw the election process and had my ear to the ground and, you know, became more concerned about, you know, raising the profile and attracting candidates and having a discussion about it.
Any other questions? Okay, I'm going to move into closed session. We'll try to be as quick as possible. Jason's going to hear about the seat event.
What's that?
You can hear about the seat event.
Jason, if you're not there when we
are done, we'll make sure we pass on
anything
to you. Okay. Anything to
go.
Okay, at this time, I'd like to reopen our meeting directly following the closed session.
You have to get the results for taking
this. The results of the appointment for Kelly Spicer to be a seated member on the EA were 6 no and 5 4.
No abstentions.
No abstentions.
Okay, we're close. So the process is what's going to happen?
I'm just going to go.
Okay.
You're going to adjourn?
I make a motion that the meeting be adjourned.
Second.
I got a second. All in favor?
Yes.
Any opposed? Okay, we'll adjourn the meeting.
Okay. Call me, Geneva.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.